Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. Welcome back, guys. It's time for another episode of Wonderland on Points. We are so thrilled that you are here. We have a really fun episode today. We're talking to the most precious young couple. We feel like a bunch of old ladies over here on the podcast today because we just interviewed this darling little couple that have been traveling to all 50 states, and they're going to tell us all about it.
I love that you said that in that accent. That was the cutest thing ever. But
guess
also,
I'm a southern grandma.
I don't know what my grandma voice would sound like, but I mean, we say this as a joke because truly Jordan and JT are just incredible, and I think it's hard for me to imagine what I was like at 24 and 26 and be like, wow, they're just really impressive. Yes. Yeah, and it really blows me away when I meet people that just exude this energy that I think is so incredible. And then I find out they're just way younger than they came off as. I'm super impressed with them, and their story is amazing. And I also feel like when I was listening to them talk, I was thinking, this is why we named the podcast this. Like, I was picturing some of the things that they were talking about, and I was like, it really is like Wonderland out there. It's so incredible. Yes. And I just thought,
our country, we have a beautiful country with so many different landscapes. I mean, dramatically different places just in our own country. And I love that they have a dog. It's very practical that a lot of their travel is domestic because they have a dog. They want to bring their dog. They don't want to leave their dog for long periods of time. And I think that's very relatable for a lot of families.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We just loved talking to them, and we are so excited for you guys to hear about their incredible year-long road trip. But even more than that, they just have so many great tips for budgeting, for traveling, for points and miles. So it was an awesome episode, and I think we should just let you guys get into it right now.
Let's do it. Today, we're welcoming our guest and friends, Jordan and JT, who we actually met at the Travel More Conference way back in November. We've been trying to schedule and have them on the show, and we're so glad they're here today. You can find them on Instagram at The Mobile Homie. Guys, welcome.
Thank you. Yes, it's definitely been a minute, and we have been nonstop ever since we were at that conference. Even though we said we were going to take a break, we didn't. So we're here. We're taking a little break to join you guys. So we're happy to be here.
And thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. We're so honored to have you during your break. You guys have such a mind-blowing story, really. I mean, I don't think most people can say they've even been to like half the states, and you guys have done something incredible, which is visiting all 50 states in a year, which is so crazy, and I'm sure people will have a million questions. Definitely go check out their Instagrams because there's a lot of cool stuff over there. But how did you guys even come up with this idea, much less put it into practice? In fact, go back a little before that and tell us how you got into traveling in the first place. And we know you're points and miles people, even though I don't think this is fully a points and miles year we're going to talk about. I'm sure that it's come into play. So talk us through how you got into this world.
Absolutely. So I started The Mobile Homie back in 2022, right? Mm-hmm. So basically, In 2021, we graduated from college, we converted a shuttle bus into an RV, and we started road tripping. That was kind of where this was born a little bit, but you know, that was right when TikTok came out, Reels were just starting to become a thing. So we didn't really know that you could monetize with it. Like, kind of the only thing was travel blogging at the time. So we started regular 9-to-5 jobs and we started seeing Instagram Reels. And we knew we wanted to do something with it, especially because we really enjoyed how we traveled and taking videos and all that kind of stuff when we were doing the bus. So I started doing the mobile homie on the side, where I was kind of teaching people about points and miles, about just general like budget travel tips, like nothing too crazy, but it kind of spiraled into something that we both really enjoyed. So fast forward to 2023, JT started helping me with the mobile homie, and we really just fell in love with making content and, you know, just trying to help people learn how to travel. And so in June of 2023, I quit my full-time job to pursue this full-time. And then fast forward to 2024.
Yeah, that's when I lost my job. So I was working for a tech company at the time, and I was like, okay, like I'm gonna be the household, like we're fine. We're gonna be able to travel in between like my office hours. And so I was like, okay, we're good. And I had this big vision board in my office that had a rooftop tent, had a bunch of beautiful USA destinations that I was just sitting there and looking at every single day, not ticking them off the chart, just looking at them. And so when I was let go, I was like, okay, I think this is a sign. And within a week, we bought a little pop-up tent for our Subaru. I got let go 3 days after we made a purchase of the car we were going to road trip in for the summer.
Goodness.
And so it was like, okay, like what's going to happen here? And so what we did, I was like, okay, what can we do? Let's go and finish the 50 states. So we visited, I think, 23 states together prior to the summer. And we were like, okay, like we can hit the rest. I know we can. But let's give ourselves 6 months. Let's put our stuff in storage. Let's empty the house and let's go for it. And so we did. And I would never change it for the world. Losing my job was the best thing that ever happened to me. And just being able to go do this was crazy. Craziest experience of our lives. Just going every single day, looking at new experiences, going to new places, visiting national parks, beautiful states, beautiful cities. It was unreal. And all thanks to her planning, it was a very smooth process.
It's amazing. I honestly can't imagine what would happen if I tried to pull something like that off. It would be a nightmare. I don't think it would work out, but I love the positive spin on what could be such a catastrophic life experience, especially right after buying a car. I mean, it would be so easy for people to just curl up in a ball and let that really knock them down. And instead you guys took it and you're like, I'm just going to chase my vision board now. And I think that is such an incredible story. How long were you into points and miles before you tackled this year? Was it a newer thing? Are you one of those people that have been into it for a decade?
Yeah. So I'm kind of young. I'm 24 and I started doing points and miles. Well, okay. I read a points and miles book when I was like 16 or maybe 15. Nomadic Matt put out a book about traveling the world and like using points and miles. So I have always been like really interested in it. But when I was 16, I couldn't really go, apply for credit cards.
Get a credit card.
So when I turned 18 though, that was when I had my first credit card like the day I turned 18, and then my first like travel credit card maybe like 6 months to a year after that. So I've always really enjoyed points and miles, and I didn't start really maximizing it until probably 2020. Like, it was a bad time though, So
yeah.
I studied abroad in 2020.
Tough year.
Yeah, I studied abroad in 2020, and so I did use points and miles while I was abroad, but yeah, after that was when I really started going full-fledged into it.
And I'm still new. I'm Jordan's player too. So I am just listening to the strategy and following along for the journey. And I've been able to visit like 40 countries because of it. So you're pretty all in
at this point. You've seen the fruits.
I feel like it's an amazing journey. I love it. Keep going, Jordan. You're doing great for us.
We love a non-reluctant player too.
Yes,
so nice.
We've got to get Nomadic Matt on the show. We learned of him originally actually from, I guess, Raimi, who became a friend of the podcast. Yes. She worked for him for a while That is such a cool story that at 16, before you were even old enough to get credit cards, you read his book. And that has inspired this whole beautiful travel lifestyle you have going. That's so cool.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's definitely interesting because, you know, back then too, like he had books about like teaching in other countries. And so like that was something I really wanted to do, why I studied abroad. And it's just interesting that it kind of shifted how our life has gone. And, you know, now we travel full time and we're fortunate enough to have worked very hard and have made a lot of money with it. So like this can be our full time job, but it's really crazy that it turned out this way.
Awesome. It's a little bit sappy, but I used to be a reading teacher. I'm a nurse now, but originally I was a reading teacher and I sold children's books for a number of years. And we always tell kids that reading books can open up the world to you in totally new ways. So the former reading teacher inside of me is just so happy that reading a book literally, quite literally, opened the whole world to you.
Absolutely. I love that.
I also have to say that I never in a million years would have put you at 24. I easily thought you were in your 30s because you just like have it all. It feels like you have it all together. No, not like the way you look. I mean, I have the face of a 12-year-old, even though I'm in my 30s.
Maturity.
Yes, it's the maturity and just like what you've managed to pull off and accomplish by 24. Like at 24, I just had a 3-year-old running around wreaking havoc on my life. So I just am so impressed. And I had no idea. Okay, so you bought a car to not for this purpose specifically, but then it ended up being used for this purpose. So is it a car that you recommend to people?
Yeah.
What car? It must have gotten some serious work.
Totally. Yeah, we love it. It's a Subaru Crosstrek. We got it brand new with like 8 miles on it. And within a year, we put nearly 30,000 miles on it. We're still under a year, so we're still adding miles right now. But it is absolutely amazing. We definitely bought it with the intention of road tripping in it. So we kind of knew. We had a plan of like, oh, well, maybe June, maybe July, you'll leave your job. And then we'll road trip for a while and live the life. But that came 3 months early. So it all worked out for the right reasons. We were able to go out a little earlier, get some beautiful summer weather the entire time. So, but it's the best car. Like we would recommend it to anyone. Even when we like go to a hotel and they have that like complimentary valet, the driver will be like, oh my gosh, this car drives like butter. And we're like, yeah, we know. It's amazing.
It has Everyone loves a Subaru. Isn't that the commercial, the tagline? No? Did I make that up? Everyone loves a Subaru.
It's true, though. I really do love the Subarus.
I feel like Subaru needs to sponsor you guys. I said that on a comment on one of your reels once. I stand by it. You can clip this and put it on Instagram.
We stand by it, too.
So you guys used a tent on top of the Subaru most of the time, correct?
Yes. We actually just took it off like last week because it was filthy. We needed to clean it.
Yeah.
But it was it's been living on the top of our car since we got it from the convention. Yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
It was probably 80 to 90% of the time in the rooftop tent. And then the other 10%, we used points and miles to get hotels and accommodation.
I have to be honest.
I love how you supplemented with the points and miles.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that too. I didn't know that you could buy tents for the top of cars until I saw it on your Instagram. And I was like, what is this? Like now I want to put a tent on my minivan. Are they pretty expensive?
Yeah, so you can do it like on a pretty budget scale and you can do it very lavishly. So the more expensive ones can range anywhere from like $2,000 to $5,000 for on top of the car. Ours, we paid $1,200 for and ours is like, it was only $900 and then we paid for like expedited shipping because we were leaving. So you could get it for cheaper if you wanted, but ours is like basic, soft shell. And I would say 100% it's worth the investment because one, it doesn't take up space in the car. Two, it is so much easier to set up than a regular tent. And three, you don't have to sleep on the ground. We are kind of outdoorsy people. Like our content makes us seem super outdoorsy, but also when you're living in it for months at a time, you don't want to be on the ground every night. You know, you want to just have, we had an air mattress inside. So it was luxury on the inside. It felt like
it was.
I mean, $1,200 for a year-long investment and it held up the whole time and it's still kicking. And that sounds totally reasonable and awesome to me. I would have to say I'm not much of a camper, even though I want to be in my heart. And it's just because of all the things required and the setting up of the tents. And it just is actually a lot once you start getting into it. But I think that I could really get into camping on top of a car. Like that's just, I feel like I could, I think the ground is part of the thing that bothers me about it.
There's a level of security and safety up top. I feel like we're the same way. I mean, we, like we said, we will go to REI and browse around. We love looking at outdoor stuff. But the moment we get out there, we're like, did we make a mistake? Like every time, like, should we have gotten a hotel? But we have loved it. Like, it's such an experience. And I think that's something that we've thrived in is just new experiences. And this gives you that every single day, new campsites, new places to go. So that was really the best part about it.
Speaking of the new experiences, did you guys, when you started out, have, did you start with a couple like bucket list spots, like spots that you had dreamed of visiting, and then you built the trip around that? How did you get going? How did you even, I don't know how you even start planning a route to all 50 states.
Well, I'll tell you how we did it. We used this app called Road Trippers. And basically what it is it's this giant map. It's the only, like, it's the only affordable option of being able to choose more than like 10 spots, because Google Maps limits you, like pretty much every other service limits you. This one, you can have up to like 500 spots. So pretty much we went on there, and on the map, the places that we knew we really wanted to go, we listed those out first, and then we kind of drew like a line to each of them. Like, that sounds really kind of stupid, but that's how we did it. And then from there, we refined like how we should actually drive to each place. And we ended up doing the trip in two loops. So we were going on a cruise to Alaska, and that was in like September. The beginning of September. So basically we had our first loop was to be done before September, and then our second loop was to be done after September, and it ended at Travel MoreCon in November. So pretty much, we also had a couple weddings in there, so we had to like plan those in that ended up with timing, and we visited our grandparents. Like, there were a couple of things that like adjusted our timing. But so our first loop was like up through California, Oregon, Washington, Montana, Wyoming, Idaho. And then we pretty much went over to Chicago, because that's where his grandparents are. We did Michigan, basically like the whole western half of the United States we did. And then we went down from there, went to Colorado, came back to Arizona. Mm-hmm. And then the second loop, we did the entire Northeast, which is where my family lives. And then like the whole East Coast, and then down to Florida, down to Texas for Travel MoreCon, and then back to Arizona. So it was easy to kind of plan out the two routes once we had a list of places we wanted to go, but it was a lot of planning. Like, it really was.
I can't even imagine. I mean, I have trouble planning like a 3-state road trip that I've literally been conceptualizing for over a year and a half and have yet to pull the trigger on. So it blows my mind. Did you count it as a state visited if your tires touched the state, or did you make, you had to stop in each place? Did you stay in each place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for us, we counted it as if we stayed the night. And I don't think, I think the maybe the fastest state we went through is maybe Rhode Island. We were there for like a day and a half, but everywhere else we were there for quite a while. And the only reason we kind of went through there pretty fast was because we had to get to like another job. So we kind of had to go kind of fast. But yeah, everywhere else we stayed for quite a few days, and a lot of places too. Like, what was nice about the rooftop tent is it gave us an option to, like, if we wanted to camp, we could camp. Or if we were going to a big city where camping was pretty inaccessible, that's where points and miles came into play for us. And we could get, most of the time, we kind of planned it around Hyatts just because, you know, they're the best bang for your buck. And that really helped us a lot, because sometimes it'd be like 2 weeks, we needed a place to stay, a reset, even laundry.
Good shower.
Yep, good shower. The Hyatt houses and Hyatt places, most of them have good like laundry facilities. So yeah, that really helped us a lot, especially on the East Coast.
Absolutely. Do you guys have like a couple of Hyatts from your time that stood out as some of your favorites that you would recommend to our listeners?
Well, I feel like an honorable mention would be last week, but that was in Bangkok. We went to a Hyatt there, and it was unbelievable. Yeah. I was mesmerized by my experience. But other than that, San Francisco, that was really nice.
Okay.
It was just a big city. We were like, okay, like where can we go? So there was one right in Fisherman's Wharf, and we were able to get easy access to the Golden Gate Bridge and things like that. So it was,
that's awesome.
I was amazing. Where else?
Besides that, we stayed at they were nice on the, all of them were super nice on the inside. I love how clean Hyatts are, and I love their bedding. Like, I'm a favorite. Yeah. Even if I get the opportunity to choose another hotel brand, I choose Hyatt because I love the cleanliness. I think they're the cleanest out of everybody. And I'm very picky about that. But I don't know, everywhere else that we stayed, the DC one that we stayed in was pretty nice.
Boston.
The Boston one was pretty nice. The problems with those, the location was just a bit far out because, we were more going for the budget of we're staying at the 3,000 to 5,000 points a night ones. Mm-hmm. So, that made it a bit more limited, but all of them were super great. Yeah. San Francisco, I think, stood out though. That one takes the cake for sure.
That's awesome. I have not been there. We have not had a San Francisco episode. Maybe we need one.
Ooh. Yeah, you definitely should. And that one's a Hyatt-centric too. So, knocks another brand off.
A little more artsy.
Hyatt bingo.
Yep. Yes.
Exactly. Were there any states in particular that maybe you weren't super excited to check off the list and then somehow exceeded your expectations?
Yeah, for me, I have two. One was Idaho. I really enjoyed our time there. And I think we're going to do another road trip this summer. And we're definitely going back and exploring more of the state. So 100% Idaho. And then also Kentucky. I really liked Kentucky. I thought that it was so fun. Yeah. And in my mind, I just was like, I don't know. I never really thought about it. But yeah, they've got a cool national park. And we went to Louisville. And I don't know. It was so fun. People were so nice. I would go back.
No, I loved Mississippi. I don't know. It was a shock that I loved it so much. I loved the Southern food. We went to so many cool little jazz bars and blues towns. It was just unreal, culturally and just historically. And the people were super friendly. So I was I was in heaven there. I was I could come back. And so we're maybe making a trip back later this year. Fingers crossed. So
to give context to your amazement with these places, where are you from originally? Because I think that helps paint the picture for why maybe some of these states were surprising.
For sure. I'm from North Carolina, and then I moved to Arizona in 2017.
Yeah, and I'm from Phoenix, and then I basically was born and raised here.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I've ever been to Mississippi, but Kentucky, I've driven through a million times because I have a lot of family in Georgia, and that's the route we take, and I've never stopped or done anything in Kentucky, nor have I even considered it. So now I'm going to have to go through some of your content and see why Kentucky, sometimes you just totally discount a state. Idaho is another one. My parents just went to Idaho and they were sending us pictures and videos. I could not have ever known that Idaho looked like this. I had no idea. It's just like the potato state in my head. And I'm sorry for any listeners that are from Idaho. I didn't know. And also Kentucky. I didn't know.
Yeah.
It's Idaho, so fun though.
Unreal. The mountains there are so beautiful. Just the city vibes, it gives a Midwest East Coast vibe, small town charm, just amazing people, community. It has everything you want in one of those towns. But we went to Boise and it was okay, where are we right now? This is unreal. So
yeah,
we loved it. We loved our time in Idaho.
Yeah, and they have the Sawtooth Mountains there, and I really would like to go this summer. And they have hot springs, so maybe in the winter too. I don't know. We'll see.
Hot springs sound amazing right now. It is cold here. I was wondering if anything on this road trip made you consider uprooting and moving somewhere else.
We've had lots of discussions about this. I think we only have two states that we would move to out of all of them.
Wow.
So, okay, JT grew up in Phoenix, but he also kind of grew up in Illinois. So he knows a little bit of humidity. But in North Carolina, I'm from humid, and I can't do it. I need to live out west. So I think for us, our only two options besides Arizona, because we love Arizona so much, but our only thing is we love to ski. So we've considered maybe Salt Lake City because we really like Salt Lake too. Or maybe somewhere in Washington because we do love Seattle, and I don't know. We like Washington a lot. There's so much to do there. So yeah, I think out of all of them, those are really the only ones.
Okay. I have another question about your trip. Was there any particular stretch of the drive that was truly spectacular? Like if someone wanted to fly somewhere, rent a car, and just go on a incredible drive for a couple days, anywhere that was just really spectacular?
Yeah. I feel like there's two that like came right to mind right when you said it. One, it's definitely like that Grand Tetons and Yellowstone loop up there in like Wyoming, Montana. It's just like crazy mountains, beautiful views. Like the Grand Tetons are unlike anything we've ever seen. Like we're like, this looks straight out of Italy. It looks like the Dolomites. Like it's just crazy. Another one for time of year, we went to the East Coast. We scheduled or we timed fall foliage pretty well. Mm-hmm. We were about a week early from like peak, but just through like New York and then Vermont and New Hampshire, it was unbelievable. Every second you're looking around, you're like, am I in a fairy tale right now? Like it was that beautiful. Yeah, there's just so many. And I think that also comes with the side of not so good. And I'd give that award to Texas, the state entirely. I hate driving through it. It felt like forever. I don't know why. It was both on the way out to the East Coast and then after travel more, we came back and I was like, okay, this is never ending. Where is New Mexico right now? I had no clue. So yeah, that had to be added.
That's very important to know. What part of Missouri did you come through, just out of curiosity?
We did go through St. Louis. We loved it. And we stopped at Emo's Pizza. I still think about
that. Heck yes.
So good.
Really loved that.
It is the best. We are known for it and it is delicious. What I want to know is you had to have seen some wild things, I feel like. So are there any like wild, crazy stories that stand out from this trip?
Yeah. I think the one that comes to mind is when we were in Yosemite, one of our buddies came with us and he's like, okay, guys, like I'm going to make a tri-tip steak over a fire. And we're like, oh, that sounds like a great idea, especially in bear country. That's good. Let's do that. So we all, without hesitation, made this steak and sat around a fire for a few hours. And we all kept like, of course, we went to bathroom breaks, things like that. And as we came back, we're like, guys, that smells really good. Like this is going to be so good. And not only did we think that, a bear in the distance wanted to. One of our buddies went out and heard a bear and came back running to the tents like, guys, we need to get out of here now. And we just heard roars and we were just backed the cars up, packed the car as fast as we could, ate the tri-tip steak like right in front of the car, scared as heck. She has bear mace in her hand, like ready just for anything to happen.
Because you can hear it. You can hear it like circling us pretty well.
So you couldn't see the bear, but you could hear it.
It was pitch black. Our buddy had like these lights on the side. So like we had it shined out. We were kind of like in the middle of a field. It was not a good position to be in. And so like that's why we backed the cars up to each other. And I'm just standing there like on guard as like everyone is trying to eat and pack up.
Oh my God.
It was a little scary.
But yeah, we basically ate the food and then we quickly finished packing up and then dipped out of there. We all slept in our cars at like right next to the intersection to make sure that there were cars and people around us so we weren't scared anymore. That's definitely the most memorable. But I mean, countless sleeps at Cracker Barrels. So those were always an experience, just wandering into a Cracker Barrel to like use their bathroom and then go back to the car and sleep. Like, I don't know. We really roughed it some days.
That's awesome.
And then, of course, like just the little memories we'd have, like we got to swim in like Montana, like some beautiful blue waters in Montana and Washington. Yeah. Like those things were like, oh my, like it was out of this world. It was like, what am I doing right now? It's like a Tuesday at noon and I'm in this random glacier water. Like it was crazy.
Yeah. So. I think that was definitely like, even though it's a weird way to take a shower, there was probably a stretch for like 2 or 3 weeks where every night we slept by like a lake or a river or something like that. So you could just wake up in the morning and go for a swim and the water was freezing. But after, you know, a few days, you kind of got used to it. And so it was just really fun to like wake up and like, hey, let's go for a swim before heading out for the day. And it was just, oh my gosh, it was so great. And that's what we're doing, like a Pacific Northwest road trip again this summer, because I loved that so much. It was so good.
How many national parks did you guys hit along the way?
I don't know if we counted.
So our goal initially was to like, okay, we're going to hit all of them in the contiguous United States. We're going to go to them all. But after a while, we're like, okay, we're just driving through these. We're not really getting to stop. We had our dog with us too. And most national parks aren't as dog friendly as like some state parks and some other places. So we were like, let's not focus on that this time around. But I think we've been to, I'd say over 30,
yeah,
over half.
Yeah, I think so. And that's what like we would do for some of them too, is like we would go in and go to the visitor center, and then like the not necessarily national park, but like the national forest are right outside of them, and like literally right outside of the entrance, and you can do like equally beautiful hikes, and you can bring your dog with you. Mm-hmm. So we did that in a lot of places, like Sequoia, for instance. You can't, there's not a single dog friendly hike in Sequoia National Park, but right outside of the entrance, there's, I don't remember exactly what it's
called. I think it's Sequoia National Forest.
Yeah, whatever the National Forest is right there, you can do hikes all through the Sequoias. And like, I think we saw like the world's tallest tree or something like that. Like all of these things that we didn't think we'd be able to do, we were able to do it with our dog and just not be in the national park. So yeah,
those are the main focus tip, actually.
Yes, 100%. Because, you know, that was something when we first did the bus, we also brought our dog. And we just didn't really do research before we went. And so we would show up at these national parks and be like, man, we can't bring our dog. And like, obviously we respected that. Like we didn't do any hikes with him, but it was more of, we just didn't know, because in our minds, like, you know, you're outside. Like,
it's outside. Dogs are allowed everywhere. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so like, we just didn't really think about it. And it does make sense in a lot of parks, especially in bear country, because, you know, it's for the safety of all of the animals, dog included. So yeah, I think that it's just something, if you want to do a lot of national parks and you have a dog, definitely do some research beforehand.
For sure. That's a very good tip. Because I think on road trips, especially extended ones, if you have a dog, chances are you're not boarding it or giving it to a friend. Like that's a fun thing to do with your dog. And that's something that I never, ever considered. Even though if we went on this road trip that I want to do, we would probably bring our dog. So now I have to do some extra Googling.
Also, you could always like rover your dog too, because we've done that in a few places where we've dropped him off just for a couple of hours, done a hike and come back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, rover like in the place you're visiting. Oh, yeah. See, I've used it here to like hire people to come by and do a check-in or whatever. Never did it ever occur to me to do it like in a place I don't live. That's genius.
Yeah, you could just drop him off. That's what we've done. Like Carlsbad Caverns, they have a kennel that you can drop them off in, or we decided to rover because he doesn't do well in kennels, so we just chose that route. Like it was better for us, better for him, and at the end of the day we both were happy. We got to go explore and he was fine at some lady's house.
That's genius. Okay, so you didn't do tents the whole time or camping the whole time. You did some hotels. So did you run into any issues with your dog in hotels at the Hyatts?
No. So most of the time, the ones that we chose were dog friendly. So sometimes you have to either do like a animal deposit or like a dog fee or something like that. Sometimes we ask to waive them and they did waive them. So it really just depends on where you're going.
That's awesome. Okay. Another thing that I never would have thought of.
We have a dog. We know there's a fee, but will you just waive it?
Yes. Yeah. And I also ask that for parking every time. So if you go somewhere where they charge for parking, I ask to waive the fee, or if they could give me a discount.
Or give me that free breakfast.
Yeah. And I ask for free breakfast, like, because their policy is that they don't do them at a lot of places now. So I just ask. I mean, the worst they can say is no. So I kind of have a laundry list of things I ask when I go, but they don't mind. Like most of the time they're very, like Hyatts are always very accommodating. So, you know, worst they can say is no.
Okay. I love this because of course we tell our listeners all the time to ask for upgrades because that's kind of a common one. I've never in a million years thought to ask for free parking or free breakfast if it's not included. I love this. Do you have like a specific way you phrase it? Do you ask via email before you go, or do you ask when you get there at the front desk?
So here's what I do. When I get there and so for the parking and I think it's really the parking and the pet, I ask at check-in. I always ask for breakfast like later on, like after we go check into the room and come downstairs, I ask for breakfast. And then I call on the phone and ask for late checkout. And I always get at least 1 o'clock for free.
Okay. Well, I feel like my head just exploded. These tips were all so helpful and not anything I expected in today's episode about road tripping 50 states. So thank you for that. That's awesome.
You're welcome. Yeah. Anytime, any extra time we could get in the hotel was good, because sometimes we would just sit in there till 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. You just got to ask.
I love that. I'm not good at that. I get scared. But you're right. What is the worst that can happen?
the phone's good. You can always call and ask. You only have to ask the one in person, really. The rest of them you can call for. Or, you know, maybe you could do the little, I did the text sometimes too for the late checkout.
Like, yes, the chat feature.
Yeah. So, but sometimes I feel like that's really automated. So you can just feel it out, you know?
Amazing.
Let's talk a little bit about the financial piece of this. How did you budget? So you lost your job. Now you had some income maybe coming in from social media, but how did this work financially? Was it, I mean, you had to be eating in restaurants all the time, which is really expensive. So how did you pay for all of this?
Yes. So, all right. So I'll preface this with we knew he wanted to leave his job at a later point. And so since the beginning of the year, we had kind of started saving appropriately. And our lease was ending in May. He got let go in April. Our lease was ending in May. So step number one was we were saving. We were already saving. And we're pretty frugal anyways, just because we like to spend our money on travel. And like, I don't get my nail done. I don't really, my nails done. I'll get my hair done. We don't drink. Like, we don't really go out. So like, those things are never an expense for us. So that really helps. Number two was we kind of like with the whole getting let go of the job, we decided to just end our lease. And so once we ended our lease, that took away an entire portion of like housing costs. So
yeah,
now our rent money could be put towards something else. The other thing was accommodation. A lot out west, a lot of BLM land is completely free to stay on.
Wow.
So we knew that on the first half of the trip, we'd be pretty fine with like accommodation costs. Mm-hmm. And we also had we had a fridge, like a portable fridge in the car, so we could have groceries. And then we had a camping stove so we could cook regular meals.
Wow.
So something that we like to do, we meal prep quite a bit when we're at home. And it definitely cuts down on the cost. Mm-hmm. And pretty much like I have a whole breakdown on our Instagram about this. Like, we've broken down the entire cost of the road trip too, so you can see how much we spent on food. But a lot of people were surprised that we don't spend very much on food, because even like when we're at home, our grocery budget is now it's like probably closer to $350, maybe $300 a month. But before this, we were able to spend only like $250 a month on groceries at home. Like, we're pretty like budgets, but it's because we meal plan, like we meal prep pretty much everything every week. And we don't really eat a lot of meat. Like, we eat more vegetables. Like, we're not vegetarians. We just like, we sometimes eat
meat. We're flexitarians.
Yeah. We just like sometimes eat meat. So like, that cuts down our cost a lot as well.
Yeah. You can make lentil soup for like $2 and it'll last you a whole week. So
when you're cutting
out the meat costs, that's huge.
Yeah.
But yeah, in general too, I think our total, and it shocked a lot of people, it was just above $7,000 for 6 months. And that of course, we're not neglecting the fact that we had jobs like with tourism boards that were paying us to be there, having us like comp meals. We did stay with family and friends. Like, that helps in many ways, getting meals, getting showers, getting those things. But we were able to show that it's possible to budget, whether you're doing a 3 month trip, 6 month trip, or even a week trip. You can budget by cooking at home, staying on free BLM land, and of course, just making the sacrifices of going and exploring national parks. It's $80 for a park pass. You don't have to, that's your experience. You don't have need anything else. You can get a magnet in the gift shop, but like, come on, like, it's so beautiful out there. Like, go explore. You don't have to go to a bar or a restaurant. You can go and hang out in Mother Nature.
And when we're in cities, we kind of just like, we'll walk around. Like, that sounds so stupid, but like, we'll do some things. Like, if there's something we specifically want to do, we'll do it. But a lot of times, like, if there's a historic downtown or just like lots of shops, like, we love walking around to those. And we're pretty minimalistic to where we just don't buy stuff.
Yeah. That's amazing. I'm going to actually link that reel where you did the breakdown. I'm going to link it in the show notes so people can go straight to it, because it's so good and so fascinating. What I also noticed while I was poking around your Instagram is that you guys have a budget calculator that you give people in your link in bio. And I love that. I love the frugal stuff because it plays hand in hand with the points and miles life. I mean, obviously, if you're getting into points and miles, we're telling you to pay off your credit cards every single month and to be on top of that. that, you have to have a good budget. I mean, it's just the only way to not let the credit cards run away with you. So it's something that we preach a lot here is, you know, frugality and financial wisdom. And you guys seem to really embody that and do an amazing job. Again, I'm coming back to the young thing, but let me tell you what I was not good at 24 years old. That was money. Like, I am so impressed. I have a 13-year-old daughter, and if she in her young 20s is like handling money with this kind of wisdom, I could not be more thrilled. So your parents must be very proud. But is there anything?
I know, I feel like a grandma at the moment. I'm like, your parents really must be proud of you.
And, I mean, but it's true. Like, it's just so, it's so incredible. What is the budget calculator you're giving away? Is it something you guys designed, or is it a company that you really like, or what is that?
Yeah, it's just like I designed it a couple of years ago. I used to use it a lot for my trips. I don't use that one anymore, but like very similar thing. But it's basically more of it kind of just breaks down your categories for when you travel, and it kind of just helps you visualize what you're actually spending before you go on a trip. So like, for me, I try and any cost that I can get out of the way before I'm actually on the trip, I like to do it so I know exactly what I'm spending. And so that budget calculator breaks down like hotel costs, transportation costs, food costs, like that kind of stuff, where you can kind of at least like you don't know how much you're spending on a dinner, but you can budget for it. Like you can say, oh, I'm only allowing like $40 for this meal. And then maybe when you're there, you skip out on a drink or skip out on an appetizer just because it doesn't fit in the budget. Like, it's little things where in the moment, maybe you're like, man, I don't want to do that. But afterwards, like, you really don't remember. Like, you really don't. And so if it can help you stay in budget, it's good. But yeah, that one also doesn't really include points and miles. But for us, the biggest thing with points and miles is like, we do love, you know, some luxury experiences, and we do love to stay at hotels. But our biggest thing is we want to stretch our cash as far as possible. And that's what points and miles, like that's where it comes into play in our strategy. And I did a podcast recently with DeAndre with Boldly Go World. And I kind of explain it there too, of like our exact strategy for points and miles. But yeah, for us, it's about stretching. Like, we just want to stretch our cash.
I think that's awesome. And I think that we always tell people, because there's kind of a misconception of like, it's free travel. Well, it's not. Nothing is free. You have costs no matter what you're doing. And it's really easy for people to not plan ahead for those food costs or transportation costs or stuff that comes up at the moment, and then to come away from a trip feeling really stressed when they realize how much they spent. I think that's super common. I think we hear it a lot. So I love that idea of, first of all, getting as much out of the way as possible ahead of time, but then also planning, saving, putting it aside, and then sticking to it. It doesn't have to be this like YOLO mindset of I'm going to swipe my card as much as I want while I'm here because it's vacation. And I'm talking to myself because I definitely can switch to that mindset real fast once I'm on a beach.
After knocking off all 50 states, what advice do you have for other people who have the same goal? They want to make it to all the states. What's your wisdom that you gained through all of this that you can share with people?
I think definitely leave wiggle room in your plans. And I know that can be hard, especially if you only have a certain amount of vacation days and things like that. But for us, it was very hard to stick to a schedule. And by that, I mean, okay, so we were in Seattle, for example, for 4 days. And two of the days we were there, we wanted to go to a baseball game. And the baseball game got rained out both the days. The day after we left, it would have been perfect weather, would have been great time for a baseball game. And we had to miss that experience. So it's like little things like that where it's like, I guess time and time again, you'll run into little loops that just throw you through during your travels that you wouldn't expect. Whether that's, let's say you get a flat tire day one and all of a sudden your whole experience for the afternoon is taken away. If you have a day or two and like leeway, it gives you more time to go explore, do everything you want to, because who knows? Like, for us, we're grateful we're going to go back out. We're going to see some of the places we saw again. But I went to Grand Tetons 4 years ago going, this might be the last time I see this place. Because I had a 9-to-5 job. There's so many other places in the world I wanted to see. It's like countries. I go to a country, I go, I'm going to experience everything in this 2 weeks. If I could add a few days to some places, like Thailand or Japan, I would have. But I think for road tripping specifically, if you give yourself two extra days, especially if you're driving, you have the say. I think that that allows for you to actually experience a place, give yourself time to enjoy a city a little more, or even, of course, just be able to experience like an event or something there.
Yeah, we're big time planners. I mean, my husband makes spreadsheets for all of our trips that are down to the minute with activities that we're going to do. But I love the idea of leaving one to, you know, depending on the length of the trip, leaving 1 to 2 days at the end, completely unplanned so that we can either circle back to something that we were surprised that we really enjoyed more than we thought, or something that, weather made impossible and now we got to do it. That's really smart to just, plan. I love planning, and I don't think I can leave my spreadsheets behind, because especially with traveling with kids, it really makes our travel smooth to be well thought out and planned. But leaving that extra bonus day on the end, that's genius.
It really is. And
I mean, she's had to adjust to it for sure. I feel like she's that minute by minute person, and I'm that person that loves a good sunset. I love a good like rooftop bar. I love just hanging out beautiful locations. And I feel like if you miss those things and find out about them a week later when you get back from a trip, you're like, come on, I wish I saw this then. So I don't know. I'm always doing the deep dives while I'm there. I'm like, we need to add this to the end of the trip. So I've added that extra day or two, and it's been good.
That was kind of our compromise, because I don't know if you've ever heard, there's like a TikTok sound that it's like, I'm go with the flow, but what time does the flow start? Yes. Like, that's me. And so I can't leave behind the spreadsheets either. But that was kind of our compromise, because or even like maybe knowing where we're going to stay, but not booking it until like really last minute. Something like that has kind of helped us, just because we have found ourselves in a lot of positions where we're like, oh man, I wish this wasn't booked because I want to do this thing. And I don't know, there has to be a happy medium, but we have yet to find the full happy medium, but we're getting there.
Yes, it sounds like you have enough time to practice that. And by this time next year, you're going to be absolute pros at it. I totally relate to this dynamic, though. I travel with my brother quite a bit, actually, probably more. I've traveled with him more than just about anybody, because of job schedules in my house. We often don't travel together as a family. But my brother is so rigid, especially with road tripping. And I am the, like, that says Wisconsin Cheese Factory. We have to pull off and see what this is right now. And so I have I kind of have to like pull it out of him, but he always enjoys it once I make him see a side of the road destination. So there is, I'm definitely a planner, like at home, and my nature is very planning centered. But like once I'm there, if there's something that sparks my interest, I want to be able to do it. And it actually never occurred to me to like build extra time at the end or at the beginning of a trip that's completely unplanned to allow for that kind of stuff. And I think that's so smart. I also have a question that is a little bit niche, because I would say it's not the majority of our listeners, but I do know we have at least a handful of listeners who are aspiring travel content creators. And you guys have managed to do this very successfully. So do you have any tips for people who are trying to get that travel Instagram life going?
Yeah. Definitely. I think it comes down, one, of course, to consistency. We have been posting for the past 500 something days in a row, just every single day producing content, doing something on content. We've been traveling all the time just to make more content. So it comes down to consistency first. The other one is, if you actually have a following and you have brands that you're working with or have trips coming up, start pitching, reaching out to brands, talking and sharing your story on why you resonate with brands and getting them to buy in on your journey and come along with you. We've been able to work with amazing product brands, tourism boards, even some apps and things like that. Like, it's been such a journey in that realm where we just, if we didn't reach out, if we didn't even give ourselves the chance, we would have never had these conversations come up. And of course, it's just be yourself, be authentic. And that's so hard in today's era of just being judged and feeling judgment on social media and the hate that comes with social media. But at the end of the day, if I can be myself and I'm a weirdo, I'm weird. And if you go to our account, you'll see that. Like, I get it. It's easy. Like, it's so easy to just be yourself and just understand that, like, at the end of the day, you're the number one culprit of yourself. You're judging yourself, and just stop, just let it go, be yourself. And eventually the people, your crowd will find you. And such a beautiful thing.
So good. That was
okay.
Perfect.
Now that you've been to all 50 states, is the next challenge to go to every country? Is that on the table?
So we discussed it. We were like, okay, like what's next? Like, especially for the count. So right now our goal is to revisit some of the places we didn't get to spend as much time in. And that includes just like a lot of Pacific Northwest, some other destinations. But we do have a ticking country goal. Right now we're at 43 countries together. And our goal, I think by the time she turns 30, so she's 24 right now, I'm 26. By the time she turns 30, we want to have visited 100 countries. So that's kind
awesome.
Of our goal. So we're slowly getting there, especially doing like 3 international stints right now. The reason we aren't traveling full-time internationally, because we've talked about doing it in the past, is just because we have our dog and we can't stand leaving him for even more than 2 weeks. Like it's not fun. We just like love being around him, having him enjoy his life. So like, maybe when the time comes, we'll jump into that. But right now we're doing the more domestic travel with the international stints. And like, it's been really nice. And we're able to actually enjoy our international time instead of have to worry about making content the whole time.
I love that. So where are you guys headed next? Somewhere fun? What's on for the rest of the year? What do you have planned?
Well, we have a huge calendar. I think this month we have, we're going to be heading up to Sedona tomorrow.
Nice.
We've got TravelCon in Tucson. We've got Colorado for a little bit. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple of California trips planned, summer road trip,
Scotland
road trip.
Oh, that's gonna be good.
And its little redhead just exploded.
It sure did.
Yeah, we're doing the Highlands up there. It's been a dream. we've done like Edinburgh, and it's unreal there. Like such a beautiful place.
Yeah, we've been up to Inverness, and it was just so pretty there. And I'm like, there's even more. We need to go.
Do you watch Outlander?
Absolutely. Is that even a question?
I mean, that is like, I already wanted to go to Scotland, but you literally cannot watch the show without just, it burns in my bones. Like, I have to do it.
Yeah.
I want to do
it. I'm a huge book nerd, and Outlander is my favorite series, book and show. And that kind of like inspired me to go back in 2020. And after that, I was like, oh, I'm coming back. And we've been like twice since then. Yeah. So.
Oh my gosh. I'm not an Outlander fan. I just like, they have this place called Greg's out there. They make really good coffee and donuts and they're cheap. And I'm like, that's my kryptonite. I'm like, okay, I'm there.
That's awesome.
There's a donut. I'm going.
Yeah. They're so cheap and so good. And it's like every day I'm like, ooh, guess where I'm going to start my day? Best thing ever. They should do that here. I don't know.
That needs to be one of your reels. Is you went to all these 50 states. I'm sure you know the best donut places in all 50 states now.
I do. I feel like coffee. I've gotten big into coffee. I feel like that's the one thing I'm like, I don't even know why. I don't like coffee. I'm telling you that. I like mochas. Like you add like, you give me like a hot chocolate with like a splash of espresso. That's me. That's who I am. So.
That's awesome. Well, we need to know the best mochas in the United States. So I'm looking for that on your Instagram soon. Unless it's already there and I just missed it.
No, we'll make one. We'll make one.
Amazing. Okay. So on the points and miles front, what credit cards have you gotten recently? Any good sign-up bonuses? Anything your eyeballs are on for the future?
Eyeballs are on getting him some lounge access. That's been a complaint from the player too, is not having lounge access when I'm not traveling with him. So.
Which is like never, but I'm like, what if?
Yeah, so I'm keeping an eye out for some good sign-up bonuses in the next couple of months, and we'll see about that. But recently, how we structure points and miles is we make a big list at the beginning, or I guess at the end of each year. So like 2024, I did this and it lists out every place we want to go to for the year. And then it calculates our points. So we only earn like pretty much what we're going to use. And then some, like whatever, like our spend is adds up to it. And then obviously like referral bonuses are extra, like that kind of stuff too. But we really only earn like exactly what we need. There's room for like probably an extra round trip ticket each if we want to throw in a spontaneous trip, and we also kind of have a small reserve. Like we like to earn and burn, but you know, there's always ends up being a reserve of something. So with that being said, we on average only apply for maybe like 3 to 4 cards a year, like nothing too crazy. So for this year, you know, we all of our trips are already paid for this whole year with points.
Wow.
So we'll probably start prepping 2026. Is it going to be 2026 next year?
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that crazy? So every time I say it, I'm like, that can't be right.
I was just saying, I'm like, it has to be 2025. Nope, 2026. So we'll probably start planning 2026 travel soon. And then once we do that, we'll kind of incorporate some more cards. But right now, really, lounge access for this one is up there.
It's
and
the
that'll
goal.
Give us some extra points to probably book our first trip of the year.
There you go.
I love that you said that about only 3 or 4 signups a year and really focusing on what you want to do, because that's the same for me. I mean, my kids are in public school. My husband and I have jobs that are not remote. We can only do so much travel. And I think people see creators online saying you should be signing up for 10 credit cards a year. And it's just not true. I think pacing is important, and you don't have to go that fast. If you're not able to even use the points that fast, it's okay to go at a slower, more reasonable pace.
100%. And I think for us too, a big thing is the minimum spend on it. We find that if we do more than that a year, it inflates our spending, and like, it's just not necessary for us. So like, we, you know, we want the points to work for us, not for us to work for the points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And kind of just incorporate it into our, like, that's what points and miles is, you know, like, it's incorporating it into your everyday spending.
Yes.
And like, based on our budget, that's how it works. And everyone is so different, you know, like, some people spend $10,000 a month. Like, it really depends on the person, you know, like, everybody is so different. And so, like, you have to have your own strategy, you know?
Absolutely. But the same for everybody, at least in my opinion, is the idea of planning ahead of time and opening based on your plans. Now, I'm not sure everybody has a full year planned out in advance in terms of their travel, but at least to have your eyeballs on a goal and only be opening things that are in line with the goal. I love that. And I like how organized that you guys are with pulling that off. That's really awesome.
Yeah, we do it based on, like, of course, travel goals, but also based off of, like, financial planning, essentially. So like, we knew when we first moved into this place, we knew we were going to be buying a lot of furniture. We were going to be like putting down a lot of cash for that. So we were like, okay, why don't we open a new credit card and earn the points meeting the minimum spend? So like, that's another way to do it, at least for us. Like, for the beginner side of things, I'm like, I understand that. That makes sense. So
yeah, no, it's true. I mean, if you have big expenses coming up, why not maximize those? You're already going to do it. You're already going to spend the money. If you already have the cash set aside, it's the easiest thing in the world to plop it on a card and pay it off, you know, 5 days later, which is what I do, because I don't ever wait till the end of the month.
Us neither. We treat it like a debit card. At the end of the day, that's what it is to us. And it's the best way to do it.
Absolutely.
Well, remind everybody where they can follow your adventures online.
Yes. So we are everywhere except for X. We are currently revamping our website, but that should be up fairly soon. So also themobilehomie.com. And is that everywhere?
That's it.
Yeah. We're going to be doing a lot more blogs this year. So keep an eye out for that on the website.
That's exciting. Will you give us a travel creator or two that you think our audience should follow?
Yes. They always make me think of lots of fun international experiences, but that's Maddie and Patrick with the Travel Mentors. I always love their content, and they always put out lots of fun Italy content. So if Italy is your thing, which it should be because it's delicious food and cool sights, they have really good content for it.
Well, that's awesome.
Packed with Points, Amy. I always love her content. She always has fantastic educational content, and she's been doing a lot more business class stuff and like kind of more luxury. So if that's something you're into, you definitely check that out as well. But she always posts fantastic content.
Yeah. Yes, Amy is a friend of the pod. So we will link them up and send everybody their way and link your offerings as well in the show notes. And we are so excited to have you guys join us today. This was amazing. Thank you for being here. Yes.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. This is really fun. I love good organic conversation. So this is wonderful.
Me too. This was a really good one. It left me very inspired to do a little more domestic. I think when you get into points and miles, you can forget what's in your own backyard. Yeah. And you can also forget road tripping is a thing that you can still do.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't have to go international.
Well, you know, it's just so easy when it costs so little to go to Europe, you know, it's like, why not? But, you know, that's what these devaluations recently have really had us thinking of, like, man, we're going to have to start finding some other places to go. Yeah.
We just did a little mini episode on the devaluation. So they're very fresh in our mind right now. And it is disappointing. But I think this is just a good reframing for people when it comes to what is possible with budget travel. And it's not always 100% points and miles. You can still take really great trips on a really small budget just by being a little wise and having some forethought and setting some money aside and using tools at your disposal. So thank you guys so much for this inspiration today.
Of course.
Absolutely. Of course.
Thanks for having us. Seriously, it's always fun. It's always fun to chat with like travel mindsets. So we always appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Bye, everybody.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.